All right, Rav Osai, good morning, friend, L'chin Shushan Purim to everyone. A great zichus, Baruch Hashem, to be able to learn together today. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar Beis, the Schwarzbaum family, in memory of Rabbi Aaron Schwarzbaum, Aaron Yosef Ben Meir, Zichron Levracha, Leah Sol, and the zichus of her daughter, Ilana Bas Esther's successful surgery, and the complete refuah shlema, for a safe return for all of our hostages and hatzlacha for all of our soldiers. Maya Hoffman, in memory of her father, Reuven Ben Emanuel, Zichron Levracha, and in the merit of hatzlacha, health, and joy for her entire family. Yoel and Sarah Kelman, in honor of the birth of their son, and in memory of Staff Sergeant David Sassoon, Hashem Yikom Domo. Thank all of our sponsors for their incredible generosity. Baruch Hashem, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamos Lavan Aliyah, the families in the Chum, and all of those who need a refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. But with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. Baruch Hashem, today's daf is daf Chof Vav, 26. Rough night. I had to do a double take there, just to say. Today's daf is daf Chof Vav. Yeah. And we are picking up Emir Sashem on Chof Ham Beis 25B at the two dots. At the two dots. Well, so again, the two dots. The last two dots. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 lines up from the bottom. Matzakli ba'ashba, mechusa lo yigabo, megula no telemachris. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if you find a kli in the garbage dump, so if you go ahead and you find it covered, so don't touch it. If it's uncovered, then ultimately again, you take it and you announce it. Okay? Again, logic being that if you find it covered, then halacha lemaaseh, that's indicative of intentional placement. If you find it uncovered, that would be indicative of the fact that it was just lost. So it says the Gemara, Urminu, Marei Zekasha, Masakli Taman Ba'ashpa Notel Amachris. If you go ahead and you find a covered utensil in the ashpa, in the garbage dump, you should take it and announce it, Shekin Derech Ashpa Libanos, because the derech of a garbage dump is that it's emptied out. Amos Rabo say, Amor HaZavid, so Rav Zavid said, Lo Kasha, it's not a contradiction, Ha Bekuvi Vekasi, Ha Besakini Behimnik. So we'll say, interesting distinction. The Gemara says, it depends. One is talking about a case of what he calls kubi and kasi. Rashi says over here, kubi kasi, temunim midas havi velo bahem. So the Rebbe says, so kubi kasi literally means barrels and cups. The idea over here is, these are larger utensils. Larger utensils. So the cup with larger utensils is, there's no way someone accidentally threw it out. Ultimately, again, it could only have been there if someone intentionally placed it there. Ha, bisakini vehimnik. As opposed to forks and knives. Forks and knives, I will say, which could often happen is what? You're clearing off the table, right? This is like in Yoni Diyom over here, right? You're clearing off the table, and there's a hole, you know, what's the right word? Zach, right? No, Zach is not the right word over here, right? Right? There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. You clear off the table, and it turns out that you threw out some stuff, the forks and the knives together. So if you find large utensils, like the barrels and the cups, you find them in the garbage dump, leave that alone. Leave that alone, because it's possible that there was intentional placement. Smaller utensils, you do pick up, and you go ahead and you announce. Why? Because there's a greater probability that halacha l'maisa, someone inadvertently threw them out. Very interesting that Rabbi Papa says, hava hava kuvi kasi. And then they're both finished on the braisa. Could be talking about smaller utensils. I'm sorry, larger utensils, like barrels and cups. V'lo kasha. Kan ba'ashpa ha'asur li'panos. Kan ba'ashpa she'in alus asur li'panos. So Rabbi says, it's actually interesting. So Rav Papa suggests, maybe the distinction to be made is not in utensils, but rather the distinction to be made ultimately, again, is in the type of garbage dump that we're talking about over here. One is talking about a garbage dump, ultimately, again, that is often emptied out, versus a garbage dump that is not often emptied out. So the Gemara says, Ashpa asur lipanos avid midasi. When you find a utensil in a garbage dump, ultimately, again, that is cleared out regularly, even if it's a large utensil, like you're both saying, and normally again with a large utensil, what do you have to be choshesh for? What do you have to be choshesh for? Intentional placement. So, however, it's only intentional placement if a person has a reasonable ability or probability of being able to hold on to the utensil. But if you find a large utensil placed in a garbage dump that is regularly cleared away, then that's an aveda midas. Then it's clear that the person doesn't have in mind to hold onto that utensil, because the maaseh, they're putting it in a place that's going to get regularly cleared away. Okay, al ba'ashba, shina su lipanos, v'nim lach al lipanos. So I'll say, so listen to this, the Gemara says, rather, talking about a ashba over here, that's not normally cleared away, but ultimately, again, the person decided to change their mind, and ultimately, again, decided to clean it away. So the Gemara says, bishtam alura papa, haimid dikenesh kin derech ashba lipanos. So according to Rapapa, this makes perfect sense. That's why the Lashon is that it's the normal derech to go ahead and clear it away. El Rav Zvid, ma shekin derech ashba lipanos. But according to Rav Zvid, ultimately, what does it mean that this is the derech of the ashba to be cleared away? Shekin derech ashba lipanos la kelim kitanim. What he means to say is it's the derech of an ashba to throw into their small utensils. And therefore, again, I'm both saying, that's why he makes a distinction between large utensils and small utensils. Okay, beautiful. The idea, the takeaway over here, is that halacha l'maaseh, the Gemara does, or I should say, the halacha does accept this distinction, ultimately, again, of Rav Zvid, as well as the distinction of Rav Papa. That halacha l'maaseh, again, it depends on the type of garbage dump we're talking about over here, a garbage dump that is cleared away on a regular basis. When you find stuff in there, that becomes an aved midas. But also there is this distinction between large utensils and smaller utensils. With large utensils, one could have the havamina that ultimately, again, is being placed there with intentionality, versus smaller utensils, where often, again, those could be more easily disregarded unintentionally. Good. Let's go back to it. Says the Mishnah, Matza begal ubekosel yoshan. We'll say, what happens if you find an object in a gal? Gal is literally, again, a pile of stones. Or in old wall. Now take a look at Rashi. Matzav the gal. Gal avonim mechomash and nafla. Shabbos says, so the gal is the case over here. As you had a wall, the wall falls down. In the rubble of the wall, one finds an object. One finds an object. So that's the case of gal. Or again, I will say, chobakosa yashan is exactly as it sounds. An old wall. An old wall. So what's talacha? Hari elu shalom. You are allowed to go ahead. The finder is allowed to keep these objects. Okay, we'll see why that is. Nimtza b'kosel chadash. Interesting case here. What happens if you find an object inside of a new wall? So we'll say, so just the image that you have it, is we're talking about, again, I will say, a wall that has like a hole in it. Right? That has like a hole in it. Now, in this case, what we're going to see over here is the hole goes all the way through. Right, from one side of the wall to the other side of the wall. So now I find an object in a, so we'll say, so again, in general, first halacha is, if you find an object in a pile of rubble, the rubble was from a wall that fell down, or ultimately, again, inside of an old wall, so whoever finds the object gets to keep the object. If you find the object in a new wall, then I will say everything depends on where you're finding it. Mechetzio v'lachutz, if ultimately, again, you find it kind of like, we'll call it from the halfway mark to the outside of the wall, then ultimately, that belongs to the finder. Shalom. Mechetzio v'lithnim, but if it's in the part of the wall from, let's say, half of the wall to the, we'll call the interior of the wall, which is the side of the wall that faces the rishus hayachid, the owner's property, then ultimately, again, shal balabayis. Then halacha l'maaseh, that belongs to the balabayis, to the homeowner. V'imhaya maskiro la'achirim. I will say, what happens if a person has a home that he rents out to others? Afilu b'socha bayis hara elu shalo. So we'll say, if you have a rental property, whatever you find in the rental property belongs to the finder. Belongs to the finder. Now again, we'll discuss the parameters there. I will say, I'll just point out how incredibly amazing and beautiful is it that we're learning a Gemara about a wall. About a wall on Shushan Purim. The halacha is, right, that remember, again, unwalled cities celebrate Purim yesterday when we celebrated on the 14th of Adar, and Krachin Hamukafin Choma Mimos Yoshua Bin Nun. So we'll say cities that have an old wall. It's got to be an old wall, dating back to times of Yoshua Bin Nun in order not to Chas HaShalom embarrass Yushalayim HaKodesh, so celebrate Purim today. And we'll say, how incredible is it that again, we just have a Mishnah that teaches us the halachos of an old wall. An old wall, all today on Shushan Purim. Absolutely incredible. And if you're not excited about this, it's clear that you're still recovering from Purim. Okay, but it's all right. I'll give you a pass on it. We'll say, absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Let's go by this. Says the Gemara. Tana. So let's analyze on the first halacha over here. So the first halacha was, if you find an object either in a pile, again, so an old wall that collapsed, or halacha l'maisa, again, inside of an old wall, that belongs to the finder. So it says the Gemara. So Tana mepnei shiyachol lomar lo shel amoroimim. So this is actually very interesting. I'll say, what a fascinating Gemara. Why are you allowed to keep the object that you find in the pile of rubble or inside the old wall? Because you could say, this didn't belong to the owner of the wall. This dates back to the time of the Amoraim. Okay. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Atu Amoraim et Mitznai Yisrael et Mitznai. I don't understand. Only Amorites put stuff in walls. Jews don't put stuff in walls. Lo tzricha will say, tap of Chavav, the Shasich Tvei. Very interesting. I'll say, what's the case over here? The case is the item was very rusty. So it was so rusty that is indicative of the fact that obviously it's very old. Rashi points out there in the Shasich Tvei, Helo Chaluda Rabba Dukoli Hailo Shavik Lu. So it says it's too rusty. In other words, this is ancient. That's the point over here. This is ancient. That level of rust means that it's been there for a very long time. And therefore, again, this must have been placed there many owners ago. And therefore, Aloch Lamaisa, I, the finder, am permitted to go ahead and keep it. Incredible. Because Chalish Mechatsio Velachos Shalom Mechatsio Velachim Shabbat Abayis. Suppose that's halacha number one of the Mishnah. What was halacha number two? There's an object in what we'll call a new wall. In a new wall. So what's talach over here? It depends. What does it depend on? Which part of the wall it was found in. If it was found, we'll call it from the midpoint of the wall and out. So just to be clear on our terminology, out means what? Out means towards the side of what we'll call the Rosh Sarad in the street. So from the midway point to the outside, it belongs to the finder. From the midway point to the interior, it belongs to the balabas, to the householder. So the Gemara says, it's fascinating. Amar Ravashi. So okay, that's a pretty straightforward halakha. Amar Ravashi, sakin, I just want to point out something interesting. I know what you're thinking. Yes, I developed this skill over Purim, right? I know what you're thinking. So I'll say, be careful. As long as no one knows what I'm thinking, we're in good shape. So you're thinking to yourself, I don't understand. These cases are so interesting, right? Because somebody owns this wall, right? Somebody owns this wall. So you're thinking to yourself, it's such a strange halacha, right? That you have a wall, which is owned by Reuven, right? Reuven built the wall, it's his wall. And generally, like now we're talking about if you find something in the wall, if it's from the midpoint and out, it belongs to me, the finder. But I don't understand, it's in Reuven's wall, right? So why doesn't Reuven automatically own everything in his wall? So remember, what's the answer to that? The answer to that, because it's common in a wall that abuts the Rosh HaSarabim for people to put their stuff down there. So therefore, again, it's just as likely that it's Reuven's, it's just as likely that it belongs to someone else, that it belongs to Reuven. That's what's happening over here. And that's why, again, the Mishnah says, especially in a wall where you have an opening that runs through the entire width of the wall, so we're going to look at where the item was placed. If it was placed from the midpoint and out, so ultimately, again, the probability is that it belonged to a passerby who put it there, who then forgot about it. If it's from the midpoint to the inside, then the statistical probability is that it belongs to the balabas. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, this is actually fascinating, sakina basar kata vikisa basar shansei. Or shanase. So let's listen to this. Ravashi says, a knife, you go after the handle, and a money bag, you go after the strings. So let's say, what does that mean? When looking at a knife, so it's interesting. So the Mishnah espouses a rule, right? So the rule is that in a wall and the opening in the wall goes the entire way. We look again, midpoint to outside belongs to the finder. Midpoint to the inside ultimately again belongs to the balabas. What's interesting over here is as follows. What about halacha l'maisa a knife? So Ravashi says a knife goes after the handle. What does that mean? It will say, so it's very intuitive. when you put down a knife, the presumption is no one's holding the knife by the blade, they're holding it by the handle. So therefore, again, I will say what you do is you, when it comes to a knife, you look at how it's put down. If the handle is facing what we'll call the Rishus HaRabim, then Bepashtus, what does that tell you? It was placed there from someone in the Rishus HaRabim. If, on the other hand, the handle is facing the what we'll call the Rishus HaYachid, then that would seem to indicate that it was put there by the Balabas. Same thing with the money bag. So apparently, again, I will say by the money bag. So ultimately, again, everything goes after the strings of the money bag. So the pashtos, again, if the strings are facing the outside, then that would indicate that it was placed there by someone on the outside. Strings are facing the inside, that would indicate that it was put there by the balabayis. Very interesting. Elamas nisin diktani mechasi olochos shalo mechasi velitnim shabalabayis. So I say, so I don't understand. So what do you do with the Mishnah? Right, because the Mishnah doesn't qualify halachas like that. Right, the Mishnah just simply says everything is about area of placement. Midpoint to the outside belongs to the finder. Midpoint to the inside belongs to the balabas. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Velechsi, let's look at the object. Ikata legav, ikata lebar. Ish not say legav, ish not say lebar. I don't understand. So basically, what we just said, just look at the handle, or just look at the strings. So the Gemara says, no. Masnisin boudra vinaska. So ultimately, I will say the Mishnah is talking about udra are literally tufts of wool. Naska is a piece of silver. So the idea to Gemara is that what? The Mishnah is not talking about money bags and knives. Right? Enochinam, I will say, by money bags and knives, everything is about the orientation of the handle and the strings. The Mishnah's rule is talking about things where you can't tell based on the orientation of the object who put it down. Okay, so therefore, Rabosai, I just want to point out over here, two different halachas. Halacha number one is where you have an object essentially without a handle. So again, everything is based on area of orientation. From the midpoint to the outside, it belongs to the passerby, to the finder. Right, from the midpoint to the inside, it belongs to the balabas. If you have an object with a handle, what do we look at? Orientation of the handle. Wherever the handle is pointing, that indicates ultimately, again, who went ahead and put it down. So Tana, Im haya kosa mamula mehen cholkin. So I'll say, interesting, what happens if the object runs the entire interior of the wall? So imagine for a moment, I'll just give you a simple example. You have a bar of gold. I love that, which will be Zoka, right? You have a bar of gold, and the bar of gold goes the entire interior of the wall. Right? Kenaina, right? Go big or go home, right? Let's dream, right? So Moses says, what do you do with that? So the Gemara says, Chulkin. You split it. So obviously what would happen in that kind of case is it's split between the finder, right, and the balabayas. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand Pshita. That's it's kind of obvious, right? Because obviously I will say in this case, the bar of gold is both from the midpoint to the interior and from the midpoint to the exterior. So the Pashto, so you're going to split it. To which the Gemara says, no, Lotricha dimishapa bechad gisa. We'll say, what's the case? The case actually is where the wall is slanted. The wall is slanted. So because the wall is slanted, Ma'otim, what would you have thought? Ishtapuchi ishtapich. You might have thought that really this bar of gold was really actually oriented towards one of the sides. But what happened? The wall slanted, right? And it moved. So maybe Aloch Lameisa, we have to see who the real owner is. Kamash Malam, though, the most safe, when we stumble upon this situation, if Aloch Lameisa, it's spanning the entire area, then Aloch Lameisa, we split it between the finder and the balabais. Incredible. Im hayam askir la'achirim afilu matza b'toch. So I'll say, so remember again, last halacha in the Mishnah, which was an interesting one, if you rent out your home, so the halacha is whoever finds the object inside of the home, ultimately, again, is going to be the owner. So says the Gemara, Va'amai, I don't understand, Lezel Basra Basra. They'll say, if you have a rental property, and then again, I come into the rental, it's not my right, I walk into the rental property and I see an object that's there, why not assume that the object in the rental property belongs to who? The last person who rented the property. Lesser than his lazel, basra, basra. Let's just go after the last person. After all, we have halachic precedents for this. Listen to this. It was actually very interesting. Milo Tanan, did we not learn? Most shenimtu lifnei sochrei behema. Supposed to listen to this. When you find money, now this is talking about Yerushalayim. Let's say, once again, how incredible is this? to learn a Gemara about Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh on Shushan Purim. Incredible, no? Where's Eitan Lassen? Eitan, where are you? Incredible, no? Right? See, thank you. Somebody's excited about this. Hey, let's say so again. So remember to learn a Gemara about Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh on Shushan Purim. Incredible. So the Gemara says, so listen to this. If you find money in front of Sochrei Behemah, both say Sochrei Behemah are animal salesmen. People who sell animals. What's the word for animal salesman?
Animal salesman.
Animal salesman. I've been informed that the technical term is animal salesman. Okay. No, this isn't. This is not like. Okay. There's a word. Okay. Whatever. Fine. So then, let's listen to this. You go ahead and what was that? Doesn't sound like a term that should be used with animals. I don't know. Feels a little uncomfortable to me, but okay. So the idea over here is, okay, maybe. Let's go with animal salesman. So Gemara says, Tanan, motion into the thing, Sochrei Behemah. If you go ahead and you find money in front of an animal salesman. So what's the halacha? Li'olam Meiser. So Rabbi said, this is really a very interesting halacha. Any money you find. So now, Reuven sells livestock in Yerushalayim. I find money in front of Reuven. The halacha is, we always assume any money that's lost there is Meiser Sheni money. It's Meiser Sheni money. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Li'olam, Bein B'Shas HaRegel, Bein Shelo B'Shas HaRegel. Doesn't make a difference, we'll say, whether again. Now let me just give you one piece of contextual information over there that's important. In general, the halacha is that, right, you have Meiser Sheni money. Right, you have Meiser Sheni produce. Meiser Sheni produce is yours, but you have an obligation to what? Consume it in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. Now, if a person, Baruch Hashem, was gebenched and they had a lot of produce, you can't take all of that produce up to Yerushalayim. So what do? You redeem it with money. You bring that money to Yerushalayim, and what do you do with that money? What do you do with the money? Spend it on food. It's got to be spent on food. So now watch this. Now, first halacha is, you find money in front of livestock salesman. The halacha is, you always assume that money has Meiser Sheni sanctity. Look at Rashi, Meiser, Sherov Bas, this is like a fascinating historical fact. He says, Sherov Basra Hanecha B'Yushalayim, Meiser. Isn't that fascinating? The majority of meat consumed in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is assumed to be Meiser Sheni meat. Again, I'm also going to say Meiser Sheni meat. Meat bought with Meiser Sheni money. Lefi she'ein adam shrab Yerushalayim ad she'yochal kli kol masrosav v'nosein ma'os Meiser la'aniyah ha'ir oli ohavav yoshve ha'ir v'rov hotzas Meiser lokin bahen behemos l'shlamim kidigom. It's actually fast. I never thought about this before. Listen to this. Well, say, come to Yerushalayim with your Meiser Sheni. Now, it's interesting to note, in general, when were people bringing their Meiser Sheni money to Yerushalayim? When? The Pashtos? Regalim, right? Because remember, you were coming to Yerushalayim anyway, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. So you brought your Meiser Sheni money. So we'll say, this is fascinating. Now, it's possible that in general, right, Halavai, you're bringing Meiser Sheni money, I can't spend all that money myself. So what would I do? I'd give it to Aniyim. This is actually interesting. There's nothing that says you have to spend the Meiser Sheni money yourself. It's just that you could give it to others as long as they spend it on food items as well. Isn't that fascinating? So you'd come to Yerushalayim, and who would you give it to? Again, obviously spend whatever you want, but you'd also give it to your relatives. You'd give it to Aniyim, right? Fascinating. So therefore, again, the assumption is the majority of livestock purchase and meat consumption in Yerushalayim was Meiser Sheni money. So, no, in fact, throughout the entire year. Therefore, if you're walking down the street and you find again, you find a $100 bill in front of the Sochrei Behemah. Now again, remember, Rabosai, lost money doesn't have a simon. Right? So therefore, again, even though it's in front of the livestock salesman, ultimately, again, he doesn't own it. It's in his vicinity. But if you find it, you have to assume that that money is Meiser Sheni money. Incredible. Baharabais, let's go back to the Gemara. Baharabais, if you find money on Harabais, chulin. So I'll say you automatically assume that it's chulin. Fascinating. Look at Rashi. Bahara Bayis Chulin. Va'afilu b'shas haregel. Even during Yom Tov itself. Va'afa pi sherov ma'o shebe'ir ma'is. So ma'iser. She'oli regalim mevi'in ma'os. Ma'asor se'in la'achlam. Lo shafkinan ruva d'shasa. Va'azlinan basa regel. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, even though, again, people are bringing so much money, Ma'aser Sheni money, on the regalim, but again, the majority of the year is not the regalim, and therefore money that you find in Harabayis, we assume is chulin. So, right, you hear this? Money you find in front of animal salesmen, ultimately, again, the assumption is Ma'aser Sheni. Money you find in Harabayis, ultimately, again, you assume is chulin. Ubi Yerushalayim, Rebbe will say, what about in the general vicinity of Yerushalayim? B'shayimos hashana chulin. Generally, throughout the year, we assume that it's chulin. B'shas haregel hakol meiser. But during the regalim, we assume that any money you find stam in Yerushalayim ultimately is meiser sheni money. Again, and the logic being that during the regalim, it was common for people to go ahead and bring up their meiser sheni money. Incredible. V'arav Shmaya bar Zira, my time, what's the logic? Rav Shmaya says, what's the logic? Hoil v'shuki Yerushalayim asuyin is kabeh b'chol yom. And I will say the assumption is that halacha l'maisa, the streets of Yerushalayim are cleaned every day. Or I should say the marketplaces are cleaned every day. And therefore, again, I will say, therefore, amrinon kamai azli, v'hani achrini ninhu. So we assume that whatever was there was swept away, and any money you find is new money. So therefore, I will say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, you establish chazaka based on the latest reality. So therefore, again, interestingly enough, in the marketplaces of in general Yerushalayim, if it's during the regalim, so ultimate salach l'maisa, we assume that it's maisa sheni money. But if it's not the regalim, we assume that Yerushalayim, the marketplaces are cleaned. Any money that might have been there from the regalim was cleaned away. And anything you find now, so to speak, is new money. So Rabbi said, let's circle back for just a moment. Hachanami kama azli v'hani debasru. Rabbi said, let's take a step back. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if halacha l'maisa, I walk into a rental property and I find money, what's the halacha? I could keep it. Or I find an object, I could keep it. But why? Why don't we say that halacha l'maisa, whatever I find in the rental property, who does it belong to? Who does it belong to? The last person that was there. To which the Rosh Lakish, Mishum Bar Kafra, Kigon, Shaso, Pundak, Lishlosh, Lo Yisrael. What's the case? What's the case of rental property? The case of rental property is that it was made as an inn for three Jews. Okay, what does that have to do with anything? Look at Rashi. Rashi is the second wide line. Shloshi Yisrael, Babas Achos, the Chol Shekin, Im Hayu Ovdei Kochavim, Mishanaf, Alimena, Miyai, Shlo Yadina, Mimani, Boy. So we'll say, what's the case? The case over here is three Jews were renting the property together. Somebody lost the money. Because it's three people, therefore what? The Jew, the owner of the money, is Miyayish. He doesn't know, ultimately, again, who to go to, who to claim the money from. So because of that, I, the finder, am permitted to go ahead and keep it. Okay, so the Gemara says, Shmamino, halach Reb Shimon Elazar. So I will say, ultimately, again, see from here that the halach of Reb Shimon Elazar, like we saw on Shabbos, afilu berov Yisrael, El Amra Menashe Bar Yaakov Kigon Shaso Pondak Lishlosha Obdei Kohavim. So Menashe Bar Yaakov says, no. What's the case? The case is where the rent property was rented out to three Ovdei Kohavim, to three non-Jews. Therefore, again, I will say the person loses the object, has no idea ultimately again how to reclaim that object. Therefore, I as the finder and permitted to go ahead and keep it. Rav Nachman Amra Bar Avua Afilu Tema Lishlosha Yisrael. No, it could be even ultimately again to three Jews. My time, I will say, what's the logic? Hahud nafal mine miyayish. The one who lost the property is going to have yeyosh. Why? Meimar amar, he's going to say like this. Let's say, right, so again, three Jews, all rented the same property. The person who dropped the money is by definition going to have yeyosh. Why? He's going to say like this. Meimar amar, mechti, in shi achrina lo hava bahadei elahani. So the guy's going to say like this. We'll say, so Reuven, Shimon, and Levi went ahead and were renting the same property together. Reuven dropped money, right? Reuven is going to have yeyosh. Why? Because Reuven is going to say like this. Listen, it was only the three of us. No one else saw what was happening. What's going to happen? So the Gemara says, Amri kamayu kama zimni lehadruli, fellow hadruli. You know, Reuven says, listen, I said in front of Shimon and Levi, guys, I lost money. If somebody found my money, please return it to me. And I've said it a number of times, and no one has returned anything to me. Vahashtali hadru, and now should I assume that something is going to change? If indeed they had intention to return it, Adru Nehili. They would have returned it already. V'haidlo Adruhali bidataihu lemigzalo. And now that no one has returned it, it's obvious that what? They're not going to return it. Obviously, one of them found my money, and they're not going to return it. And therefore, again, Reuven has Yeush. So because Reuven has Yeush, therefore, I will say, when I walk into that rental property later on, after all three have left, and I find the money, I am permitted to go ahead and keep it. Incredible. Incredible. You know, I will say, that Gemara, this logic over here is so fascinating. Right, that Reuven, again, so what's the case, right? Reuven, Shimon, Levi all rented the property together. Reuven dropped money. No one else is, there's only the three of them, so no one else saw what happened. Reuven is convinced that someone found it. He's mentioned to Shimon and Levi already a couple of times, I lost my money, give it back. They haven't given it back. So Reuven says, the fact that they haven't given it back means they're not going to give it back. And the Lashon of the Gemara is that Reuven says, right, Reuven essentially said, what was his Lashon? His Lashon is essentially, since nothing has changed, nothing will change. Since they haven't given it back to me already, right? In other words, the money is in a state of being lost, nothing is going to actively change. But say, how many times in life do I walk around with that mindset? Things have been a certain way for such a long time. Since they've been a certain way for that amount of prolonged time, therefore, they certainly will not change in the future. You know, say that is the most destructive mindset that a person could ever walk through life with, right? Since things are a certain way, they're certainly going to remain a certain way. You know, say, you know what the power of the Yid? You want to know the power of the Jew? The power of the Jew is the ability to realize that things can be a certain way for thousands of years, but just because they've been that way for thousands of years doesn't mean that they can't change. I would say, no, now at Shushan Purim, we have to switch gears. And ultimately, now we're in Pesach mode. We're in Pesach mode, right? I would say, what's one of the first things that we say in the Pesach Seder at the end of Halach Ma'anyo? Hashata Avdi, L'shana Haba B'nei Chorin. Hashata Hacha, L'shana Haba B'Aradi Yisrael. This year we're slaves, next year we're free. This year we're here, next year in Eretz Yisrael. I would say, what's that mindset? That mindset says that just because things have been a certain way for so long does not mean they can't change. It's true in our personal lives, it's true in our relationships, and Alachas kama v'kama, how true it is for Klal Yisrael. Incredible. V'yaz de Rav Nachman l'tame. Now Rav Nachman goes according to his reasoning. Dam Rav Nachman says, Ra'as Selah, what's the end of days? Ra'as Selah shenafal mishnayim. Let's say, if ultimately, again, if you're right, if I'm walking, I'm walking behind Reuven and Shimon. I see Reuven and Shimon walking, and I see that Reuven or Shimon, one of them went ahead and dropped the coin. Ultimately, again, I have to give it back. I have to give it back my time. Well, what's the logic? So we'll say, again, the case will be very specific. Reuven and Shimon are walking together, right? I'm walking behind them. I see Reuven drop the coin. Now, in general, you would think to yourself, again, what's the halacha? Somebody dropped a coin. So, right, money is by definition this. Yeyush, hefker, I can keep it. The halacha is, no, I'm obligated to give it back. My time was the logic. It was fascinating. Ha'hu d'nafal minei lo miyayish. Because Reuven, who dropped it, Reuven doesn't have yeyush. Why not? Listen to this. Meimar Amar, Reuven will say like this. Michti. Ene shachrino l'hava b'hadei elahai. Reuven says like this. There's no one else with me. The only other person with me was who? Was Shimon. Naktinale, so which means in Reuven's mind, Reuven's like this: I dropped the money, for sure Shimon picked it up. For sure Shimon picked it up. Va'aminale, and who the shaklose? And right, and Reuven's going to say to Shimon, I'm going to confront Shimon, and I'm going to go ahead and get my money back. Now, listen. Well, here's what's fascinating about this case. What's fascinating? Reuven's wrong, right? We'll say also so much good news for today, right? Reuven is convinced of a reality that is false. But interestingly enough, even though Reuven's narrative is incorrect, because he is convinced of it, it creates a reality. What's the reality it creates for him? That he's not miyayish, right? Reuven is convinced that Shimon has his money, even though Shimon does not. But because Reuven is convinced of that, therefore what? He's not miyayish. Because he's not miyayish, when I find the money, I have to give it back to Reuven. Let's say, tremendous Mr. Haskell, people's perceptions create realities, right? Let's say, it's very important, right? My reality is not, bless you, my reality may or may not be actual reality, but because I am convinced that what I know to be true is true. Therefore, that creates my reality. Reuven's reality over here is that Shimon has my money. Shimon has his money, right? That he's convinced of that. It's not true, by the way, right? I found his money. Silver found his money, right? Shimon has no idea what's going on over here. But because Reuven's convinced of it, therefore, again, he's not Miyayish. Because he's not Miyayish, when I find the money, I'm obligated to give it back to him. Incredible, incredible. So B'shlosha, so we'll say, what happens if Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are walking, and I'm walking behind them, and what happens? Ultimately, again, I'm not obligated. I will say, now, again, just to be clear, obviously, if I see the money fall out of Reuven's pocket, of course I'm obligated. I know you know, I'm just going to clarify this, right? These are cases, right? Case number one is, I'm walking behind Reuven and Shimon, and I see someone from that group, from the Chavrusa Shaft over there, somebody lost money. Somebody lost money. So now, again, the Gemara is telling me I have to give it back. Why? Because the halachic assumption is, the owner is not Miyayish because he assumes the other guy has it. Case two, I'm walking behind the Mezumin, right? Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Someone from the group loses money. In that case, I am not obligated to return the money. My time, what's the reason? Interesting. Because we'll say the halacha assumes that, let's call it Reuven, who dropped the money, definitely had Yeyosh. What was his Yeyosh? Amar, Nichti Trehavu Badai. Because Reuven says like this, look, I'm walking with two guys, Shimon and Levi, right? So what's going to happen? I nakitna lahai, amar lo shak lisei. So Reuven says like this, if I go over to Shimon and I say, I confront Shimon, what is Shimon going to say? I didn't take it. I nakitna lahai, if I go over to Levi, amar lo shak lisei, Levi's going to say, I didn't take it. So therefore again, so essentially in this case, Reuven will have Yeyosh, right? Why will Reuven have Yeyosh? Because he doesn't feel that there is really a reasonable way for him to get back his money. So Amar Rava, Haida Amrit B'Shlosha Eino Chayv L'Hachzir. So Rava said, by the way, just to qualify this, when we say that if the money was lost by a group of three, that you're not obligated to return it, Lo Amar Ela D'Les B'Shaveh Pruta L'Chol Chad V'Chad. Interesting. That's only assuming also that Allah Almighty, the item that was lost is less than three prutos. Aval ispe shaver pruta l'chol chad v'chad. But I will say if the object that was lost has at least a pruta's value, right, corresponding to every member of the group, then what? Chayv l'hachzir. I'm obligated to give it back. What's the logic? My taima. Emar shutfi ninhu v'lo miyashu. Because we'll say, remember again, I can say that what? Maybe Allah Chalamaisa, the three people walking right through that group, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, are really partners. They're business partners. And we'll say, ultimately, again, the object that was lost is jointly owned property. And as long as there is a pruta's worth of value for each of them, no one has Yeyosh. And therefore, I'm obligated to go ahead and return it. Ikedami, very interesting, Allah. Rashi, we can say, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Emar Shotvininu, Beselazu. Right, they're all shutfim in this cella. V'ne'emanim zeh al zeh, and they have credibility with one another. Ve'ein ha'echad choshit es chaveiro b'chelko. And ultimately, again, no one really suspects the other of stealing his portion. Ulechi memashnish v'kiso, and therefore, again, when somebody checks his pocket that doesn't find the coin, v'lo matzav lo iyayish. Ultimately, again, he's not miyayish. Why? Me'emar amar echad min ha'shutfim mitzah. Ultimately, again, he says, one of the Shutzvim found the money. If one of the Shutzvim found the money, why isn't anyone saying anything? Listen to this. Ulitzareni hushosek. So say, you know, sometimes business partners don't get along so well. So what happens? One of the partners found it, and he's not saying anything in order to cause grief to the other partner. But he doesn't intend to steal it. So ultimately, again, when I find it, I'm finding it before Yeyosh. Interesting. Ika da'ami, find back to Gemara, another version of this, Amar Rava, Afa gav deles be ela shave shte prutos chay lahachzir. So we'll say, now listen to this, in this alternate version, Rava says, the truth is, if I'm walking behind a group of three people, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, even if halacha lamaisa, the object that was lost only has a combined value of two prutos. Now we'll say, so again, so just to understand, in the first version of Rava, I'm walking behind a group of three people, and somebody dropped an object from that group, and it's worth three prutos, combined value of at least three prutos. Rava says, in that case, you're obligated to try to return it. Why? Because it's possible that all three of those guys were shutfim, were partners. This is partnership property, right? And again, there's enough of a substantive chilek for each of the partners. And again, because they're all partners, so no one is miyayish in his chilek. He figures, you know what? One of my partners found it, and ultimately, again, it'll come back to me in some way. In the alternate version of this, Rava says, even if there's not three prutos, but there's only two prutos of combined value, chayv lahachzir, I'm still obligated to return. It's my time, but what's the reason? Emor shutfininu. Same thing. Maybe all three people are considered to be shutfim. V'chad minayu achule achle leman se gabi chavre. And I will say, aye, but one second. But it's three people and only two frutos. Ultimately, again, maybe one of them forgave his portion vis-a-vis the other. Okay. V'amar Rava. Ra'a selesh nefla. We'll say, now listen to this next case. We'll say, I find a coin that fell. Fine, we'll say, that's a regular case. Walking down the street, Shushan Purim, I find a coin that fell on the floor. Natla lifnei yeyush. So we'll say, now watch this. If I pick it up before the owner experienced yeyush, amanas legozla. And I will say, it is my intention to steal it. Okay, look at Rashi. Natla lifnei yeyush, shalosh shakadei lemashmish zevikiso. So we'll say, essentially what happened is like this. Reuven, right? Somebody dropped a coin. I go ahead and I pick it up before Yeush. Before the owner had Yeush. Rashi points out, before the owner even realizes that it's missing from his pocket. Right? And I pick it up, I will say, on the condition to steal it. In other words, I know full well the owner didn't have Yeush. Right? However, I know that. Right? And the maisa, my complete intention is to go and steal the money. What's the halacha? Over bekulon. I violate a lot of averus, right? What do I violate? Here we go. Mishum lo sigzol. Number one, Rabosai, don't steal. Don't steal. That's number one. Number two, mishum hashev tishiving. So Rabosai, so this is not the violation of an avera. This is the negation of a positive command, negation of an assay. There's a mitzvah of hashavas aveda, to return a lost object. So by obviously keeping something that I should return, I am going ahead and violating the positive commandment. Next, umishum lo sucha lishalim. We'll say, there's another halacha. What's the halacha? That when you see a lost object, don't turn away and pretend you don't see it. Rather, give it back to the owner. I'm turning away. And we'll say, even though I give it back after Yeush, matanuhu di yoivle, visura de avid avid. So we'll say, now listen to this. Let's say again, after the owner has Yeush, I have a change of heart. I want to be a chazir b'tshuva. Right? We'll say, who doesn't want to do tshuva? So what happens? I give it back. So we'll say, just understand, even when you give it back as a gift. Because remember, again, as a thief, you already acquired it. So therefore, again, I violated all the stuff that I violated. Now if I choose to give it back to Reuven, that's a matana. Not all if neyush, amanas lahaksil. Right? So we'll say, what happens if, right, Reuven dropped the object, and ultimately, again, I find it before Yeush, but it is my intention to go ahead and give it back to Reuven. Amanas lach zero, right? Ultimately, again, it's my intention to give it back. Ula achar yeyush, and after yeyush occurred, niskavin legozla. Ultimately, again, I will say, it is my kavana to go ahead and steal it. So again, I find it before yeyush, and it is my kavana to go ahead and give it back. And then after yeyush, I have a change of heart, and I decide to keep it. What's the halacha? I will say, over mishum hashev tishidin. So first of all, again, I have negated the positive commandment of returning a lost object. Himtin la achenis yashua bailim vinapla. We'll say, what happens if Reuven loses an object and I wait to pick it up until I know that he had yeyush vinapla? Then I pick it up. Eino over elamishum lo sucha leisale. So we'll say, the only thing I'm in violation of is don't turn away. In other words, if you find the lost object, you shouldn't pretend like you don't see it, but rather, again, you should chaperine as quickly as possible. Turn it to the owner. Bivat, all right, it's the only thing you violate. Amar Rava. Rava says as follows. Hayman dechazi dinaf al zuzi mechavre. Becholsa. So it's an interesting case over here. So Rava says like this. I see Reuven, my friend, and he lost money in the sand. In the sand. Becholsa means in the sand, right? Where we're by the beach together. He lost money in the sand. So I'll say, what's the halacha? Va'ashkechei v'shakle. And ultimately, again, I find it. I'm allowed to go ahead and keep it. Lo mechayiv la'drele. I'm not obligated to try to find the owner. My time, I will say, what's the logic? Hahu dinafa mine miyayishu. So we'll say, because the logic is that ultimately, again, the person who dropped it, he's fishra miyayish. So we'll say, this is a separate halacha by losing money in sand. Losing money in sand. When you lose money in sand, there's automatic yayish. You are not getting that back. So the Gemara says, afagav dechazye de'ase arbalo v'kamarbo. Even though what? What do I see? What is Reuven doing? Reuven has a sifter to the center. We'll say, right, you know, or what, they come to contemporize this a little bit, right? We walk a metal detector. Right? He's wearing a metal detector by the beach, right? This is the guy who's going to discover treasure, right? So we'll say, so here's an interesting look, right? So now, Reuven lost money by the beach. I find the money. There's absolutely no obligation to be machnas it, to announce it, because there's automatic yeyosh by losing money in the sand. What if I see Reuven sitting there with a sifter? Right? Literally, he's sifting the sand, obviously looking for money. That would seem to indicate that he's not miyayish. No, even in that case, he has yeyosh. Why Rabbi says it's incredible. Amar, ki hechi denafo minay, diti, hacha nafo min shiachrino, umash kechana midi. They will say, when I find Reuven, when I see Reuven sifting through the sand, this is interesting, Reuven's not looking for his money. Right? Rather, what is Reuven looking for? What is he looking for? Money. Because Reuven assumes like this, just like I lost money at the beach, so what? So to what? Other people also lost money at the beach. So therefore, again, lav dafka, I'm going to find my money. I'm going to find my money. But ultimately, again, I'm going to find someone's money. So once I say, hear this? So even though, again, Reuven's actively looking for money at the beach, halacha doesn't assume that he's looking for his money. Halacha assumes that he's looking for some money. And therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, his money automatically becomes yeyosh. We'll say, incredible. Let's go. Mishnah. By the way, we're doing good today, no? That's very impressive. This is very impressive. Should drink heavily every day before Daf Yomi. Incredible. All right. Mamish. Says the Mishnah. Matzah b'chanos. Hare elu shalom. So I said, now we're getting into much more specific cases over here about finding money in specific locations. I find money in a store. And I will say, now this doesn't mean that you go to the cash register. Like, oh, I found money. I know this is Baltimore, but still, but when I saw, oh look, that's so interesting that I found money in the register. No. This is talking about, again, I will say, this is talking about I'm in a store and I find an object in the store. Not the type of object that the store sells, just a random object on the floor of a store. So what's the halacha? Hare elu shalom. I am permitted to go ahead and keep it. And Rashi points out over here, b'davar she'in bo simen koi, t'il dinafo b'nei miyai shakol nechmas l'msham. So what's that? Essentially, what the Mishnah is saying is like this. A store is rishus harabim. A store is rishus harabim. So therefore, halacha l'maisah, I shouldn't say this. A store is an area where there's a lot of pedestrian traffic. That's what I should say it. And there, because a store really is not just an object, but a store is where there's a lot of pedestrian traffic. And therefore, again, when someone loses an object in a store and the object doesn't have a simen, there is what? Automatic yeush. And therefore, if I find the non-simen object in the store, halacha l'maisa, I am permitted to go ahead and keep it. Okay, let's say, what happens if the object is between the chenveni, who is the shopkeeper, and the table? The table is the counter. So Rashi points this out. The way it used to work was, it's interesting, I think when we think about, let's say, a store, you think about the shopkeeper behind the counter. That's not the way it worked over here. Here, the shopkeeper was in front of the counter. So if you can imagine, you have the shopkeeper, the counter is behind him, and he's like reaching back for change, for other stuff behind the counter. So if you find something, if the object is between the chenveni and the counter behind him, then shal chenveni. It belongs to the shopkeeper. Lithnei shulchani. We'll say, what happens if you find money or an object in front of a money changer? Hare elu shalom. You're allowed to keep it. Beina kisei l'shulchani. What I would say, if it's between the chair and the money changer, Hari Elu Shal Shulchani, then that ultimately again belongs to the Shulchani. So again, remember, the money changer sits behind the table. So obviously, again, anything found between his chair and the table, the presumption is it's going to be the Shulchani's. Halokeach Peros Mechavero. If a person purchases produce from his friend, Osha Shilach Lo Chavero Peros. Or I will say, my friend sent me Shalach Manas. Right? Sent me Peros. Umatza Bahen Maos. And there's money found inside of the fruit, Hare Elu Shalom. Ultimately, again, I, the recipient, have the ability to keep the money. And Hayutzurin, however, if the money again was strung together, we'll see what that means. So no Telemachris. Ultimately, again, you go, you take it, and you announce. Atari Zabot say, Shkoyach Gadol, Shkoyach Gadol, Freilich and Shushan Purim. We'll stop over here for today. Absolutely incredible. Shkoyach Hebron. All right, Hebron Zoom, have a great day, everyone. Freilich and Shushan Purim.